Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESP, and 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. We got to give a shout out
to
David Poyle. Shout out to David, because what did we
say? Good work, David.
What did we say when they signed Jeremy Lazan to that ridiculous 4-year contract?
No after more bad players.
Okay. So the Predators made a trade in which undoubtedly three players were traded, two from the Predators, one from the Lightning, and the Predators did, without a shadow of a doubt, they got the one good player.
Yeah, they did.
So Ryan McDonagh is coming to the Predators, and let me say this. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Like, so there, I have a bunch of thoughts from this, and I'm just going to lay them out there, because Saturday, I talked to somebody that knows Ryan McDonagh pretty well, and I mean, he was just all about Ryan McDonagh. Just, he's the best guy, and he's just a great player, and he's a great leader. And I'm going to say this. If you're going to be captain of the New York Rangers, you probably have some thick skin.
Yeah.
Like, you probably, you know, have dealt with a lot of stuff in your life. So Ryan McDonagh, I mean, he's old, but he plays defense, and he's a defensive defenseman, mm-hmm. So he's not one of these guys like P.K. Subban who's going to get fat and not be good anymore. I mean, he's a pro. He's good. He's it's a nice addition. And the Predators got him for a couple of just pieces of nothing. They were able to acquire him because Tampa was one of like the 8 teams in the league that has absolutely no cap space.
Yeah, it was a salary move.
So the Predators were able, and Tampa admitted it, that it was a salary dump.
Yeah.
And I didn't know this until I heard the Midday Show play this clip earlier today, but I couldn't get over this fact because just reading the quotes from Ryan McDonagh as far as what the Tampa people were saying. Now, I didn't hear his press conference that he did as far as with the Predators.
I heard
sure
bits
it was,
and pieces of it.
I'm sure it was all like, I'm really excited. This is going to be a really good team. We're really
saying, you know, I
want
to go somewhere competitive, and I believe Nashville can be competitive. Yeah.
Yeah, the same old.
Yeah.
But it sounded like he was pretty much kicking and screaming on his way out the door at Tampa.
I don't blame him.
I don't either. But I kept wondering, how could a guy who has a no trade clause, why would he have to say yes? They come to him and say, hey, man, your salary's too much for us. We just can't do this. And it's like, well, I'm staying. I never understood it until I found out the difference between no trade and no movement. No movement is you can't move the guy at all.
Mm-hmm.
No trade is you can't trade the guy. So he had a no trade, not a no movement. So what was going to happen was they were going to waive him, and Columbus had already was going to put in a claim. So they told him, you're either going to Nashville or Columbus, and he chose to come here. Now, a couple thoughts on this. First off, there's a huge message that comes from the Predators with this, which is as incomprehensible as it feels after having watched the Colorado Avalanche series and seeing the market and knowing that you're not just going to be able to acquire Austin Matthews or you're not going to be able to swing a trade for Connor McDavid, I felt like there was nobody out there that could make this team a legitimate contender with the Colorados with one or two trades or one or two free agent signings or anything of the like. And I still believe that. But they have told us the opposite. They have told us that they do think a couple of guys here and there and this group going forward can compete with the Colorados. Again, it's just a difference of opinion. I kind of thought they were not exactly being forthcoming when it came to that. I kind of thought it was like, we just want to do this. We want to tell you all this, not because we believe it, but we want to tell you this because we all want you to buy tickets. You know, and we want you all to be excited for the season, and so we're going to tell you we think we can compete, but deep down inside, we kind of know. And that's what I thought. And maybe it's true, and maybe the playoffs is the only thing that the ownership cares about, and so, you know, they want to make the playoffs, and you will... I have a hard time believing if the three defensemen that are already on the team, if they stay healthy, I have a hard time believing this team and the goalie, they won't make the playoffs, because Forsberg's going to come back. So they got this guy, and I think it's a fair deal, and I think, you know, it's 4 more years. Yeah, he's old, but he's a good player. That's the first thought. The second thought is, I think they're done on defense because I think that he's going to play with either Josi or Ekholm on one of those top pairs, and whichever pair he plays on with that guy will be your best defensive pair because he's your best defensive defenseman. So I think that he will play on one of those top pairs, and, you know, the third pair, I don't care about the third pair. Those are always a pair of Scarbinis, and just throw anybody out there and just let them get out there. And so to me, Fabbro's got to be the fourth guy. Now, I don't think Fabbro's that good. And I have many a time been frustrated at his lack of being good, but he should be able to be the fourth guy. It should be Yossi and McDonough and Ekholm and Fabbro, or Yossi and Fabbro and Ekholm and McDonough. I don't care. Mm-hmm. But those should be your four. Forget about Carrier. We'll get to him in a little bit. But that should be your four, and that should be fine. Like, that, it's not as good as what you had in 2017, 2018, but it's good. Like, that, those are three good defensemen, and Fabbro, who needs to get good, or else he's never going to make it in this league. And that should be fine. The third thing is, on this, that, as crazy as I think this sounds, and I'm looking at whatever they're going to do and everything else, I can't help but have been frustrated for an argument that I got in with every single person who covers this team from 2 years ago. And that is, when they traded for McDonough, I was talking to somebody in the organization, and they were just so pumped. Now, they get pumped over Cody Glass, so they get pumped over whatever. And look, they traded, I'm not even going to say traded ponies for a horse. I mean, they traded, what's worse than a pony?
I don't even know. A baby pony?
Like a donkey?
Like a mule?
They traded a couple donkeys, and they got a really good player in return. So they should be excited. But they're just so excited about McDonough and the addition, and yes, and defense, and ah! And so I'm on my phone. I'm on a plane, and I'm on my phone. And I'm looking, you know, at McDonough, and is looking at his stats and everything else. I see shoots left. And I'm like, wait a minute. Yossi shoots left.
As does
Ekholm. Well, didn't 2 years ago in the playoffs, didn't they play Ben Harper and Eric Goodbranson over Dante Fabbro? And when I was like, it looks like they don't believe in Dante Fabbro very much. And then I asked David Poile about it. Oh, we believe in Dante. I asked John Hines about it. Oh, we believe in Dante. And I love Adam. Adam Vingan and everybody. Oh, no, they want left shot, right shot, left shot, right shot, left shot, right shot. That's how this coach wants to do it. That was the excuse, and everybody took up on it. You're going to put Ryan McDonough on the third pair?
No.
Then you're going to have two left
shot.
Then you're going to have two left shot defensemen together. I thought we cared about left shot, right shot defensemen.
Not anymore.
What? I mean, oh, God. So, like I said, this is going to sound crazy, because the fact that they got a good player, I think, is important. The fact that they clearly
think... veteran player.
They think that they are a re-signing of Forsberg, which is going to happen. They think they're a re-signing of Forsberg and probably one other player away from saying, this is our team. Johansson, Forsberg, Duchesne, Yossi, Ekholm, McDonough, Tanner Jeannot, Yakov Trenin, Saros, and whatever that extra guy is, and let it rock, babe. You know, that's what they're doing. Well, and I'm still getting caught up in this left shot, right shot thing, because so many people told me, left shot, right shot, left shot, right shot.
Well, is that a difference of we can get a really good player on the very, very, very cheap, so let's just go ahead and rock with it?
Of course.
That's more important.
Of course.
Than left shot, right shot.
But then why did they have to play a really, really bad player 2 years in the playoffs and tell me it was about left shot, right shot?
I don't know.
Like, so I was not here for this, and I was very disappointed that I was not here for this last week. Do you know what I'm about to say?
Yes, I do.
So when Paul Kaharsky criticized the people who covered the team.
Yep, we touched on it.
This is what he was talking about, which is the team says something, and the people that cover the team, and I don't think these people, and I thought Paul, you know, I think Paul was right, but I think he was wrong. Does that make any sense?
I think that Paul was a little bit too, it was too much of a blanket statement.
Yes, it was too black and white. It was too, all these people are fans and whatever, and they all cheer for the team. And I don't think that's true, because I think the most critical person in the entire city, as far as this team is concerned, is me, and I'm a fan. I'm a ticket holder. I go to the games. I cheer. I want our team to win. But the difference is like, I just don't think that they get challenged very often. That's what I think my issue is the coach runs out Bryn freaking Harper in a playoff series in which four of the games went to overtime, and you lost two of them. And I had to run out Bryn Harper, who freaking stinks, out there on the ice. And you've got Dante Fabbro, a first-round pick, who you traded PK Subban away and said it was okay because you were going to put Fabbro in there. And you're not playing him over Ben freaking Harper, who, again, freaking sucks. And you're playing Ben Harper, and you're doing it, and you're telling me, left shot, right shot, left shot, right shot, left shot, right shot. And everybody else was like, yeah, left shot, right shot, left shot, right shot, left shot, right shot. Then they trade for Ryan McDonough, and it's like, yeah, forget about that. What? No.
It's a fair point. It's a very fair point to make. I just don't have.
But the frustration is not the frustration of what happened 2 years ago is not a big deal to people right now. I know,
because this
but
is
me.
Overall a good move. But I do have to question.
It was also an easy move.
Well, what happened to getting younger? You're not getting younger by acquiring Ryan McDonough. He's a good player, and I'm not mad at the trade whatsoever. I think it was actually a very good move on the part of David Doyle. But if you're going to talk about getting younger, getting younger, getting younger, and then you turn around and you sign a, what, 33-year-old defenseman? What is your plan? This is why I question the plan, because I don't see a very clear path forward, because you keep prioritizing getting younger and then you sign older veteran players.
No, they're going to make the playoffs this year. Yeah. Like, this move solidifies that they're going to make the playoffs. I also will say this, and I don't exactly know how these hockey trades work because they're worded so weird on different things. Ian, does the no trade clause, does that continue with McDonough to Nashville?
I don't think it necessarily has to.
Because if you're not very good and you've got Ryan McDonough on your team at the trade deadline, you'll get a lot better than Philip Myers and whoever the other guy was, the pick. Do that on your own time. They will get a lot better in return than that. I mean, if Jeremy Lozon is a second round pick, Ryan McDonough's probably a first.
Well, that was a trade out of necessity by Tampa Bay. They just needed to get rid of his salary.
And it was, we can send you where you want to go, or you can go to Columbus. I'll go to Nashville.
I'll go to Nashville over Columbus.
But again, we said after the Lozon signing, no more bad players. Now, this was a layup, because my guess is Tampa called around the league and said who would be interested in Ryan McDonough, and how many teams can take on a $6.7 million salary straight up without having to move extra money around. Or, I mean, they can even save more money if they end up cutting Myers, which I don't understand this, because I thought the NHL cap is as strict as all the other caps, or more strict than the other caps. But this Myers buyout, if they buy him out, they get X amount of dollars back, and if they don't, whatever, that's their problem, not my problem. But there just probably weren't a lot of teams that could take on that salary. And with Ryan McDonough, it's like, hey, you get to live in a nice place. It's income tax free. Like, they made the playoffs last year. Maybe you can help, as opposed to Columbus or wherever else was looking for him.
Right.
So when they said, hey, we'll take, you know, this pile of nothing in exchange for Ryan McDonough, that's an easy trade to make.
Oh, of course.
But they did get a good player. They got a good player at a position of need who I think is going to come in right away and help out every avenue of the team. And it's a good trade for the team, and they're now going to make the playoffs. I don't think they're going to do anything extra outside of making the playoffs, but I think this move solidifies that they probably will make the playoffs. And yet I'm mad about the left shot, right shot, left shot, right shot, left shot, right shot. What happened to that?
Well, you're just mad because you want someone to tell you that you were right.
No, I'm mad because
which is fair.
I'm mad because
I don't blame you for that.
I'm mad because I don't like being lied to. That's why.
Fair.
Because that whole left shot, right shot thing was like, oh no, we can't have left shot, right shot. And I'm like, what? Like, that doesn't make any sense. It makes a little sense, but it doesn't make a lot of sense.
And no, it makes sense in the explanation, but what doesn't make sense is now you're going to turn around and make this move.
Yes.
At its core, I think you're for it. I'm for it. I don't think it was a bad move whatsoever. I think it was actually a good move.
Well, the thing that bothers me, again, and this goes back to the Kaharsky thing from
last
week.
But it's left shot, right shot, and it's getting younger.
No, it's left shot, left shot.
Yeah, left shot, and getting younger.
Left shot, left shot. By the way, I'd pair him with Yossi. This is what I would do, is I would put him with Yossi, and I'd be like, McDonough, you stay home. Yossi, go up. And that's what I attack, do whatever you want. But I would get those two on the ice together, and I would stick them together, and I wouldn't change them, because it's going to take a while, you know, for a new pair to get kind of used to each other. And I'd stick Ekholm with Fabbro, and then put whoever you want on the bottom pair. There is a thought on Carrier I do want to get to at some point, 615-737-1025. But we'll take your reaction on this. And I have not been good with phones today, and probably in large part because I've been off for 5 days or whatever it's been.
You got a lot to say.
I got a lot to say. There is a new Philip Forsberg story that's out. Did you see this?
I did.
Oh, my God. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here on 102.5 The Game.
Hey, Ryan. Obviously, Julian mentioned it was a tough conversation with you the other day to ask about, you know, a trade. Like, how much did that catch you by surprise at all when he approached you about it? And you had every right, obviously, to stay there with you no trade. Like, what led you to eventually say, it's okay, I want to go somewhere else?
I mean, there's some private conversations that probably need to stay private. I mean, in the end, you know, when somebody approaches you and asks if you'd be willing to go, you know, it gets your mind thinking a little bit. You want to do, you know, what's best for you as a player, what's best for you as a family. And, like I said, it wasn't easy. It hasn't been an easy, 7 days here since we lost, and then hearing the news about, potential trade, but to find out for Nashville to be the landing spot, I couldn't be more excited. And I've mentioned that many times now. So it's hopefully a blessing in disguise here. And like I said, I'm just anxious and really motivated to get started here with the Nashville organization.
There you go. That was Freddie Freeman of the NHL, Ryan McDonough, who is not happy to be leaving Tampa Bay. By the way, so I'm on the Athletic page because I want to get to a story that Pierre wrote over the weekend. And it's like crushed. Ryan McDonough explains his exit from Tampa Bay. And I'm like, oh, he really want to be here? The best right there was, yeah, you know, I think those conversations to stay private. It's been a tough couple of days, but you know, I couldn't be excited more to be in Nashville.
Well,
sound it, bub.
Does anyone blame him
No.
for being bummed
No.
for leaving Tampa Bay? You won two cups and competed for another one in the
Nope.
past 3 years.
Nope. No, I have no problem with Ryan McDonough feeling the way he feels. I totally get it. I totally sympathize and empathize. It is funny, though. Like, and this
Yeah.
goes back to the, I mean, I couldn't be more excited to be in Nashville. Really? Because you don't
Are
sound
you
it.
Sure?
It's like if you're sniffling or you're sneezing and you're like, are your allergies bothering you? Sometimes it's okay to say yes.
Yeah, they are.
So I do want to get to this Pierre story because this was a story. So Pierre LeBrun writes at The Athletic.
Adam Vingan did mention how you, quote, say Pierre LeBrun's name like Pepe Le Pew.
Pierre LeBrun.
Yeah.
So Pierre LeBrun writes, you know, I just assume that he's from Montreal every time, too. He may not be, but every time, I just assume that it's Pierre LeBrun.
Be from, like, Cleveland.
From Montreal. Why hasn't Philip Forsberg re-signed with the Nashville Predators? And then there's another part about this with Claude Giroux. I don't care about this. Pierre writes, when you talk to most people around the league, it's always been the expectation that Philip Forsberg would ultimately resign in Nashville. By the way, as of last week with this show, it was up from 100% to 101%. Now, everybody else, I mean, I think he could go, but not here. Pierre writes, he still very well might, but I think a lot of people are surprised that the negotiation hasn't produced an extension yet. My sense, Pierre writes, and do you think this is Pierre's sense, or do you think this is what Pierre's been told?
I think this is probably what he's been told.
Okay, keep that in mind.
Okay.
My sense is both sides aren't that far apart. They're both willing to do an 8-year extension at an AAV that begins with an 8. I'm glad they're both willing to do 8 years. Forsberg's camp, led by veteran agent J.P. Barry, is believed to want a dollar figure in the high eights, while veteran general manager David Poile is in the low eights. Now, again, this is Pierre's sense. Mm-hmm. And Pierre's sense is that the Predators have offered low eights. Well, where else have we heard low eights with the Predators?
With our friend Frank Zeravalli.
Okay. So now two national guys have said low eights. They've both echoed it, and in between this, I've said, I have heard word on the street is that that is complete and total bullcrap, that the Predators have offered more than what would be considered quote-unquote low eights. So, where do we think Pierre is getting his information from?
The agent.
Okay. Now, Pierre writes, still, is this thing really going to blow up over about $500,000 a year? By the way, the answer to that, this is not in Pierre's article, but this is just my opinion of that. No. Pierre writes, it feels like both sides have dug in with their latest positions. Forsberg, who turns 28 in August, is coming off a 6-year deal that paid him $6 million. I would have bet heavily a month ago that this would have been done by now. It's rather interesting that it hasn't concluded yet and other GMs and agents have taken notice. Because if suddenly Forsberg is on the market and perhaps Johnny Gaudreau goes to the market if he doesn't sign Calgary's 8-year offer, we've got quite the 1-2 punch at the top of the free agent frenzy. In the end, Maybe it's because I still have a hard time seeing Forsberg leave Nashville, the only place he's ever played where players love living. I think it gets done. But it sure doesn't feel like a sure thing as of Monday morning. That comes from Pierre. So Pierre has told you twice in that story that I think he's going to re-sign in Nashville. But also twice in that story, Pierre has told you that he might not re-sign with Nashville. Great reporting, Pierre. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Everything I told you on Tuesday of last week, that the low eights is not, that they've offered more than that, and that the deal's going to get done, which is what I told you on Tuesday, that still stands. And I still buy it. And I think what this is, what have I said when people say, well, why hasn't the deal got done? Because that's what Pierre is wondering. Why is it, if it's this close, why hasn't it gotten done? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, because Forsberg's probably saying, I want 8.9 or I want 8.8. And the Predators have probably offered 8.5 or 8.6. And so now it's who blinks first, because the first person that says, okay, fine, we'll do 8.8, then you get the deal done. And Forsberg's camp is holding out till the end, and Poyle's camp is holding out until the end, and that's where we are. And when Elliot Friedman said last week multiple times, including on the Midday Show, that he is hearing from teams around the league that say that Forsberg and Nashville is going to get done at 8.5 a year, I'm telling you, that's probably coming from David Poyle, as we have discussed many a time when it comes to Elliot Friedman. So the Sarah Valley report and the Pierre reports line up as almost the same, which I think we think are coming from the agent, which are saying the Predators are offering the low eights. I'm telling you, they've offered more than the low eights. Elliot has told you that everybody around the league thinks the deal's going to get done. And we know Elliot's talking to David Poyle. So it's going to get done. And it's going to get done. And what they're just doing is they're literally haggling over a couple of $100,000 a year. And that's what they're doing.
But the thing that I don't understand, and this is what I told you earlier, is I've heard from two sides of hockey insiders, hockey experts. And one camp says, well, this is just how hockey deals are done. They come down to the wire and they get signed at the very last minute, at the very last second. It's fine. This is what happens with hockey deals. And then I hear the other side, as Pierre LeBrun says several times in this article, well, I think he's going to stay, but why hasn't the deal been done? I'm shocked that I woke up Monday morning and the deal wasn't done. If they're going to reach an agreement, why aren't we there yet? So which one is it?
Ian, do you remember somebody that used to always say you never make a decision until you have to?
I do.
Who was that person?
That would be Floyd.
Never have to make a decision until you have to. So where I think both sides are, I think the Predators have offered either 8.5 or 8.6. And this is just speculating, but I think it's pretty good speculation. Or as Pierre would say, my sense, the Predators have probably offered 8.5 or 8.6. They're probably looking at 8.8, 8.9. And so the obvious thing would be 8.7. And I think that if David were to call up today and say 8.7, they'd probably say yes. And if Forsberg were to call the Preds and say 8.6, they'd probably say yes. But they're holding out over that couple of $100,000. And they haven't, neither side has moved on this because they want to have seen themselves as winning the negotiation. And they want to, you know, try to get the best deal for themselves. And they don't have to make a choice until now. And so that's what's going on here. I don't think, because I was told adamantly last week, and I relayed this to all of you, that trade protection is not a part of this. So we all thought that was the hang-up.
That made sense to be the hang-up.
But it's not.
No.
And Pierre hasn't reported that, and Sarah Valley didn't report that, and Elliot didn't report that, and I didn't report that. So, again, doesn't it feel like it's pretty obvious what's going on here? When we take the four things that people have said, like the four items that people have said, whether it's Sarah Valley and Pierre getting their information, we would assume from the agent, and Elliot getting his information, probably both from other clubs, but really probably from David. And then, you know, I feel pretty certain about the people that I've talked to. I mean, this deal's going to get done. So when I look at the Predators offseason, this is what I think's happening is, and remember, Willie said this a couple weeks ago, that the Predators are going to need to sign Forsberg, and then they're going to have to sign a couple other players too. So they got Forsberg, they've got Ryan McDonagh, and I think they're looking at one more guy. And so if they can come away from this saying that they've got Ryan McDonagh and Valerie Nichushkin, just throwing him out there, that they have those two guys, in addition to what they had last year, plus an extra year to gel with everybody together. So that herd line's together for another year. And Fabro's got another year under his belt. And they're saying, you know, TikTok, let's let it rock, babe. You know, that's what I think they're doing.
Right.
That is the plan. That's my belief of what they're going to go into next year with. And they say, I can only take them at their word, they say that they think they can compete with this. And that's why I think it's happening. But I again, think that the Pierre article was used to kind of stoke fear in the Predators or in the fans of, could they really lose him? And the answer is no.
I was listening to NHL Network Radio a little bit yesterday.
Love them.
And just because of the McDonough trade and whatnot, they were talking about Forsberg. And one of their insiders, I believe it was Dave Pagnotta, was talking about, he's whatever as far as a true insider, but he was talking about the structure of the deal and how they pay out the money. And this sounds more like an NFL contract kind of thing than we're sure. typical with NHL. But whether or not it's salary versus signing bonus and what that does to the future years of the deal and what happens if they need to have some type of buyout.
So I don't exactly know how that works. I always thought a buyout of a veteran player in the NHL was half of whatever the contract was for double the amount of time that was left on the deal, right?
I think that's usually what it has been. Yeah. At least that's what they did for Turris.
So maybe there's ranges of buyouts here. I don't know. What I do think is I could see Forsberg wanting more money up front, and I could see the Predators wanting to put more money on the back, like the actual money that they give him.
Right.
And I could see why the Predators would want to do that, right?
Incentivize him later on in the deal.
Well, it's not incentivizing. It is move money back to the later into the deal. If you trade the guy, somebody else has to pay for that. But also, if I owned the team and I was selling it in 3 years, would I want to make the big purchase up front, or would I want to put some of that money years 4, 5, 6, 7, 8?
That's fair.
But again, that doesn't matter to me. That's like this college football conference money.
I mean,
money.
Those are all the X and O's in the contract. The only thing that really matters is
my money.
What is he getting signed? Yes
and
or no?
The
okay,
AAV.
Great. And how much per year?
615-737-1025. Add those both to the kitty. We're to your phones on the Preds next. Stillman and Company right here. Let me tell everybody about this great thing that we've got going on with our good friends at Newton Motor Group. So 1025, 1063 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer are helping kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in the Nashville and surrounding area. With school coming back, our goal is to raise $20,000, which will provide 1,000 pairs of shoes for kids. But we cannot do it without you. Please help however you can by going to thegamenashville.com/shoes. All donations will go directly to the Souls for Souls to give shoes to children in Middle Tennessee experiencing homelessness. Let's do some good this summer, and thank you for your help. Thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group is a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deal in Nashville, starts at Newton.
I think, like, there are some negotiations, you know, when you're getting, when, like, there's a deadline now. And so it's time to get serious. And you can tell in a lot of cases, not every case, but in a lot of cases, when there's been movement towards something or you're still nowhere. And the general feel around the league is that there's been movement. Like, I heard David Poile say, we're talking long-term for Forsberg. That's what we want. I don't think that's a problem. I think 8 years, I think everybody kind of gets that that's probably where it's going to go here. I think everybody's known for a while now where the number was going to have to be for Nashville's comfort and for Forsberg's comfort. And, you know, I maybe 8.5 is a little bit on the low end, but, you know, I just asked some people for their guesses, and that's kind of where they think it's around. Now, it might not be exactly right, but some of these teams seem to feel that there has been some momentum. And I think when you get that close, you assume it's going to happen. They could be wrong. I could be wrong. But I'm under the assumption right now from the people I'm talking to who are more connected than I am that they think there's a path to a contract.
There you go. That's Elliot Friedman on the Midday Show last week. Now, that's a little confusing, too, only from this standpoint, that if David Poile were to tell other teams, and we think Elliot's talking to Poile, and I do.
Yeah.
But if, say, for instance, Elliot were to talk to other teams, and other teams were to say, yeah, we think that Nashville and Forsberg, that they're getting close to being done, The other teams could only hear that from one place, and that's J.P. Barry.
They
could not hear that. Poyle cannot call another team and tell them that he is getting close on a deal with Forsberg.
No.
That is collusion. That is against the rules. So you can't do that. So I don't know. Everybody's reporting sounds a little like there are forks I can put into every single person's reporting.
Like the my sense from Pierre LeBrun. Is that your sense or is that what somebody that has what told you and now right. you have a sense because and, somebody told you?
And in the case from Elliot, is it teams around the league or is it David that told you that?
Yeah.
So add that in there. One thing that I do want to say, now that Ryan McDonough's in the fold, and I've told you if I'm the Predators, McDonough and Yossi are on one pair, Ekholm and Fabbro are on the other pair, and I don't like Fabbro just as much as you all don't like Fabbro. I'm trading Alexander Carrier. Because I'm already paying $2 million a year for the next 4 years for one of my third pair defensemen. I'm not putting another guy. What am I going to put him on the third pair? All NHL last year. So, I'm going to tell teams. All NHL rookie defenseman for sale. And if Lozon is a second round pick, then what's Carrier?
Well, Lozon shouldn't have been a second round pick.
But that if was he just is.
Bad GMing on the part of David Poyle.
But will one
However,
of these,
if
will,
that's, let's say that's the market.
Will one of these noodle brains that's running these NHL teams that never get any better, and there's a lot of them, like New Jersey, will one of these guys give you something for a young defenseman that was all NHL
rookie team?
I'm just saying. And this goes back to why I would do it, because I think Carrier sucks. And I don't think Carrier has the potential to not suck. Whereas I do believe that Fabbro has the potential. He'll never realize it, but I do think that he has the potential to get better.
But if you don't think that he's going to realize it, then what's the point in holding on to him and keeping your fingers crossed that he'll eventually find it?
Well, somebody has to play that fourth spot.
Yes. So why can't that be Carrier?
Because he stinks.
Does Fabbro not stink?
Yeah, but Fabro's at least big and can skate. And big relative. He's bigger than Carrier. Mm. I mean, Fabbro's a first-round pick. He's built like a first-round pick. Whereas
Carrier's all rookie team.
Carrier's a little man. Carrier's a little guy who back checks Gabriel Landeskog and falls down to the ice. Back checks him and falls down on the ice. Let's get to your phones as promised. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
One texter texts in and says, so we've got McDonough. We re-signed Forsberg. Who do you think is the missing link? Nazem Kadri, Johnny Hockey, etc.
Connor McDavid, I think, is the missing link for the Predators. If you want to have a team that can legitimately compete with the big boys in this league. Now, what they're thinking, I think that what would that leave them with, right? If they signed Forsberg at 8.6, you know, that would leave them with what? $9 million in cap space?
Well, not to mention McDonough's contract as well.
No, but they were at like 20. So Okay. You're factoring in his 6 and Forsberg's 8.
So let's say that's what, 15?
And then you got to sign Trennan back, and you got to add a couple of guys in there. 2, 3, something like
that.
It'll
be about 10, 9 left, yep.
And so then you got to add back in Trennan, and you got to add back in a couple other guys. So shave some money off that. So what are we really looking at to spend here? $8 million? If we had a guess?
7 or 8, yeah.
Okay. I'd like 2 players out of that. Now think about this. If you didn't pay $2 million for Jeremy Lozon,
and that's what
you would
so
get two players out of this.
Is because you could look at Jeremy Lozon and say it's just $2 million a year. The Predators have so much cap space. But yeah, that's true. But $2 million, that's the difference between $7 million and $9 million. And that's a lot. I mean, that could be one player, and the difference between a $7 million player and a $9 million player is massive. Not to mention, you know, a $4 million and a $5 million contract versus a 3 and a 4. Those are massively different types of players.
I will say this. I would not be surprised if the Forsberg deal gets done tomorrow.
Why tomorrow?
Because the draft is on Thursday, and I think you're better off, instead of signing guys, I think you're better off looking to trade for teams that need to trade people. Like teams that need, and the draft is Thursday, and so you want to get those picks. If you're going to make a deal on something, make it before the draft so those players can get, or those teams can get their picks. Maybe the Predators look at it the other way around, which is let's wait until after the draft. Then you sign Phillip. Then you use next year's picks instead of this year's picks. You can use next year's picks to get players on teams that want to go into July 13th and have a little money to spend. But for me, I do think Thursday is an important date on the calendar, and they can talk to more general managers when they're all there in Montreal. What's next?
Another texter texts in and says, how do you feel about the return on the Ellis trade now that the Predators have signed Ryan McDonough?
I mean, the same. They got a pair of Scarbinis in return to dump Ellis's salary, and then they traded a pair of Scarbinis to get Ryan McDonough, who was a dump of salary.
I love this new term that you've adopted.
Yeah, I stole it from Felger in Boston.
Just
a couple Scarbinis. I mean, that's what they are.
Just a couple of...
Just freaking, you know, whatever.
Scrubs.
Yes. Part of me does wonder if they could have gotten more from Tampa to take away McDonough. Because, honestly, Tampa was the team in need here. They're the ones who needed to get rid of him. And part of me wonders if the Preds could have gotten more.
Like what, like Palat? The rights to Palat, too?
No, I mean, nothing too crazy, but... an extra pick, an extra player, because technically the Preds are doing Tampa a favor here.
Yeah, but
I know you didn't
get
rid of any. I know you didn't really lose anything, but they weren't looking for players; they were looking just to dump salary.
That is true. And Ryan McDonough was trying to not go to Columbus. Mm-hmm. So if you had held out for more with Tampa,
but I'm sure Tampa was asking for much, much, much more in return, and this was the middle ground.
We cannot ask too much of David. He made a trade and got a good player in return for the first time in freaking who knows how long. Like, since they traded for Wayne Simmons. Now, that didn't work out, but at least Wayne Simmons was a kind of a good player. That was 3.5 years ago. That was before COVID even was like a glimmer in the sky. It wasn't even anything. That bat that probably had COVID, if that's what it was, that bat probably wasn't even alive yet.
We can't be too greedy.
The last time, right, that's my point. David got a good player.
But at
player.
The end of the day, you dumped a couple of non-starters, and you got a legitimate starting defenseman out of it.
I mean, not even. You, total Scarbinis.
Total just
which was a word that I wanted
scrubs.
To not steal. I have stolen so much from that radio program in Boston that I didn't want to steal this. And I did, and I couldn't help myself because it's just the perfect word. Just a couple of freaking Scarbinis. Yeah. That's what they were. I mean, it's about a Grant mismatch. What the hell? What? Who? What? Gone.
Scarbinis.
Trade more of him. Not second. I think he was a second round pick, but not second round picks for Jeremy Lozon. That is
second
a Scarbini.
Second round picks for Scarbinis.
No Scarbinis. Again, the rule. No more bad players.
And
this trade,
put it on
not
a, t-shirt.
A bad player. More of your phone, 615-737-1025. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company on 1025 The Game.
Do you think homerism is a big problem in today's media? Like, how do you view the current state of media today in 2022?
Let's set 10 minutes aside for this answer.
It is a giant problem. A massive problem. Who is a legitimate reporter? Rex Rhodes not full-time on the Preds by any means. Who's the singular legitimate reporter on the Nashville Predators in Tennessee now after Adam Vingan? There isn't one.
Yeah.
There is not a single journalistic reporter covering the Nashville Predators in Tennessee who isn't cheering for them in the press box.
That's pathetic. Not true. That's not
who
true.
Is it? There you go. That was the Kaharski versus the Preds media on Wednesday morning. So I obviously was on vacation, and I was very disappointed in Paul Kaharski for dropping that nugget on Robbie and Rex Road with me out the rest of the week, because I heard that, and it literally pained me. It pained me that I couldn't comment on that.
That sounded like something that instantly went off as like a red flag in my head of that's something that Jared wants to talk about.
Probably would have spent an hour on it, honestly. I'll say this. First of all, if I had to give out... So I'm in the Fort Lauderdale airport, right? So I'm flying through Fort Lauderdale to where I went. And I'm in the Fort Lauderdale airport, and I see on Twitter all the Preds media is just all mad at Paul Kaharski. And by Preds media, I mean like a couple people. And so I listened to what
mad.
He said. And I heard what he said, and I was like, oh, that's some tea. And I'm like, and I can't even talk about it. So let me say this, who I think people should really be mad at. I think they should be more mad at Robbie than they are Paul. I mean, what were they expecting Paul to say when Robbie asked that question to Paul?
No.
What was Robbie expecting Paul to say when he asked Paul that question?
Because Robbie did not put a gun to Paul Kaharski's head and say, you have to criticize the Preds media. So I'm not going to put blame on Robbie. But to your point, that was a toss-up softball question for Paul to just knock it out of the park.
And I'm going to say this. I mean, I don't think that Paul is completely wrong. And I know that... I'm almost more mad than I am anything else about this, or jealous might be the right word, because Paul says it and people get mad for an hour. I say that 4 years ago, and those people still have grudges today that they won't let go because I picked them homer. I called them homers for picking the Predators to beat Chicago in the 2017 first round. It's like everybody's let go of their angst towards Paul, but for me, it's like, oh yeah, Jared Stillman called us all a bunch of bobos, and which they are. And it's. And I'll say this. I have been in the press box during Preds games. Not a lot of them. I usually sit in the seats, and I root for the Predators, and I am a Predators fan, and I'm a Predators ticket holder. I just don't think the Predators get challenged very much as far as...
But the way that Paul was saying it was that everyone in the press box has their blue and gold pom-poms, and they're waving them upside all about their head and saying, yay, Predators. That's not the case.
That is not how this team is covered. But I do feel like this team is... I felt almost icky a couple weeks ago when that guy didn't vote for Roman Josi because of the analytics. I felt icky criticizing that because it felt so local, like, our guy didn't win. And I felt so bad about that. Like, I just like, oh, God, I don't want to be that guy.
Well,
I don't want
to
be that.
It's illegal to defend something that didn't really make sense, whether it's the hometown kid or not.
I know, but then the usual places were all... That this man should lose his vote for life. That is a difference between that and that. And again, I just think there's too many instances where the Predators do something just wild or say something just crazy. And I feel like I'm the only person in the room thinking, am I the person, only person who heard this and doesn't think like, what? And most of the time it's Adam that is the other person who would think the way that I would think. And or would at least, you know, have the same kind of questions I would have, or, you know, Joe and I would argue about them. But I mean, I just remember when they told us about how great the hire of John Hines was because New Jersey said, oh, he's just the best. And so I'm sitting there and I'm looking around the room. I'm like, what's going on here? And I so I asked the question, like, if they love him so much, why they fire him? And
which I think is a fair question.
Oh, my God. People were like, how dare he say that? And that is what I think Paul was talking. So I think he was wrong, but I think he was right. And I was just sad that I didn't get to react to that. So let's go to your phones, as I promised. Phone 615-737-1025. What do we have?
One texter texts in and says they basically traded Ryan Ellis in 1 year for McDonough and Cody Glass. In those terms, it's not terrible, but he could help redeem himself by finishing off this draft or offseason. I think he, meaning David Poile, finishing off this draft and offseason with some plays for another top six winger.
Well, you also gave up a year. So if you're saying you traded Ellis for McDonough and Cody Glass, you really traded Ellis and one whole hockey
That's
season.
That's what the texture says, is Ryan Ellis and 1 year from McDonough and Cody Glass.
I mean, that, like, when you're 72, years are not finite, or years are not infinite. So, I mean, I don't know about you, but, like, I didn't get free tickets this past season to watch the team play with nobody capable of playing a top four role that Ryan McDonough's going to have to play. I mean, again, if it is you have to trade for bad players and then wait and then trade for good players... Generally speaking, while it may have worked out in this instance, it is not something that is sustainable to say, well, let's go back and give that trade a high mark, because I liked the Ellis trade when they made it because it was time, because Ellis was no good anymore. People say, well, Ellis was just getting hurt and they got out before he got hurt and he was always hurt all the time, but he just wasn't very good anymore. That was my problem. So they got out of the Ellis contract. Yay. What's next?
Michael texts in and says the Predators gave Jeremy Lowe's on $2 million, but they're haggling over less than $1 million with Forsberg.
I know.
But that's why.
I know.
That's what's so frustrating, is these small contracts add up. $2 million isn't chump change now.
So here's how this should work with this kind of player. This kind of player should make $900,000 or $800,000 or whatever the league minimum is. Because when that guy starts to make more money, because he's on your third pair for 2 years and now he's got to get a new contract, and so he's going to want, you know, $2 million or 1.7 or whatever, then you let him go to another team and you call up the next guy from Milwaukee who's some random Joe and you put him in the lineup. That's what the third pair should be. Not $2 million in a second round pick, but that's what you're doing. So instead of, again, we think that it'll shake out where they could have $8 million in cap space, it's like, boy, if they had 10, they could probably get, you know, they could probably get two good players or two players and
two solid players.
Or you could work a deal with one of these teams that's up against it where they retain a little bit of salary and you get an even better player. And that's why I get so worked up That's why I get so mad when they do things like this. And that goes back to the challenging angle of, like, I want the Predators to be challenged that I'm talking about. When they make a trade like the Lozon trade, and it's like, well, I know that none of these other teams that had him liked him, but we see something special in him. And then we don't see anything special. And then they sign him because they have to. And everybody's like, well, you can't judge him because he only played 13 games for the Predators. I'm like, yes, I can.
Well, 13 games is a pretty big sample size.
Well, he played for other teams. Years.
And right, it's not his 13th game in the NFL, but I think 13 games is plenty of a sample size for me to say that you are good or you are not.
I just don't like commit, like the money that you have to commit on a restricted free agent deal for Yakov Trenin. That's like, you can't just go to Milwaukee and go get the next Trenin. Or if you do, you'll have to draft it and then you'll have to wait on it. And so Trenin is like important. This guy, Scarbini. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. So I've now realized what they're doing to college football. And if you know where to listen and how to listen, it becomes even more obvious. And I want to get to that coming up next because I don't like this. And I'll let everybody else decide right here on Stillman & Company. Fireball Cinema Whiskey. I was off on vacation on Fireball Hot Take Friday, but don't worry. I was enjoying some Fireball. I love Fireball Cinema Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. There's no better way to enjoy your weekends or your holidays or whatever you may have than with ice-cold Fireball Cinema Whiskey. It goes down so smooth and it tastes so great. That's why I absolutely love Fireball Cinema Whiskey. That's right. Fireball Cinema Whiskey. Ignite the night. Please do it responsibly and be 21 years or older to enjoy. That's Fireball Cinema Whiskey.